The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in Acts chapter 12. It was read earlier. I'll read again just a portion of the lesson. After arresting Peter, Herod put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Peter followed him out of the prison. Then Peter said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." This is God's word. We all want security in our lives. We want physical security, protection from the things that might threaten our health and our well-being. We want emotional security, the assurance that we are accepted and loved and confidence to do the things that God has called us to do in our lives. We want financial security, having the resources we need to provide for our needs and the needs of our families. King Herod was looking for security. He really didn't have much real power. He was a puppet king, put there by the Roman Empire to keep the peace in the province of Palestine. The problem was he didn't really have much support from the Jews. Most of the Jews did not recognize him or honor him as a real and legitimate king for a number of reasons. And so he thought he would try to win their favor somehow, some way. And the way he decided he would do this was by persecuting people who claimed to be Christians. Because the Jewish people saw Christianity as a threat. They saw Christianity as an enemy of their religion. So that's what King Herod did. He went and he had Christians arrested and put in jail. He had one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, a man named James, he had him executed. And it worked. The Jewish people were pleased with the way that Herod was ruling. And so Herod continued. He went on with his ways, this time going for the jugular, if you will. He arrested Peter, the clear leaders among Jesus' apostles, put him in prison. Now, this was the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be followed by the Passover. And so Herod decided, out of respect for the Jews, he would wait to bring Peter out for trial until after the festival was over. So Peter sat there in prison. Now, Herod knew that Peter and John had already escaped from another prison at an earlier time, and he didn't want to take that kind of a risk this time, so he put Peter under maximum security. The Bible says he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Now, this was probably not 16 guards at a time, but it probably was four different groups of soldiers who would guard Peter for shifts throughout the day. So throughout the day, day and night, Peter himself, one prisoner, would be guarded by four different soldiers. At the same time, he would be chained there in the prison. This is the kind of treatment that would usually be reserved for the most notorious, the most violent of lawbreakers. The kind of treatment, kind of security that there would seem to be no way out of. So there Peter sat in jail. Chains on his wrists, guards all around him. Escape would seem impossible, and when his trial came, the outcome of that trial would probably be the same as it was for James. He would probably lose his life. But with the trial scheduled for the next day, did you notice what Peter was doing? Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was not sitting up worried. He was not awake and afraid. He was sleeping soundly. Even though he thought, in fact, he was sleeping so soundly that he thought that when the angel came to rescue him from the prison, he thought he was just having a dream. This couldn't possibly be happening. He must still be sleeping. He was in such a deep sleep. How is that possible? Chained between guards, likely to hear his own death sentence the next day, how could he be sleeping so soundly? How could he have such peace when he had lost his freedom and would likely very soon lose his life? Here's how. After the Passover had ended, about 12 years earlier, Peter had gone to the prison of his friend Jesus. But this prison was a tomb, the kind of prison that people don't come out of alive. Like Peter's prison cell, Jesus' cell was guarded heavily by soldiers day and night, around the clock. But when Peter got there, prison was empty. The doors of death's prison had swung open, and Jesus was alive. And then Peter was there that very same night when he and his close friends were gathered together behind locked doors, and suddenly there was Jesus standing in front of them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So not only did Peter have the assurance that escape was possible, he also knew that God was in control. No promise that God had ever made had ever been broken. No prophecy that God had ever spoken had ever gone unfulfilled. Through Peter and the apostles, God was already keeping that promise that he made to his disciples that night. The promise that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in Jesus' name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, even if God should allow Peter to die that night just as James had died, even if Peter's own witness would come to an end the next day, God promised that that witness would continue, that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would continue to be preached to all nations by other Christians. The church would not be destroyed. That mission of sharing forgiveness with all people would go on for one generation after another until Jesus came back. And so Peter could rest in peace, knowing that everything was in God's hands. But the thing that gave Peter the most peace, the thing that really let Peter rest that night, was what Jesus rising from the dead meant for him. Peter knew that his sins were forgiven. You see, Peter had not always been so trusting. Peter had not always been so calm. Peter had often worried. He'd had that desire to be in control, and that desire to be in control of what was going on in his life caused him to say and do some things that didn't show trust in God. In fact, They might even have put the work that Jesus came into the world to do, might have put it all in jeopardy. Peter had sometimes been so arrogant and self-centered. In fact, one time he was so self-focused that he denied that he knew Jesus at all. He was really showing himself to be an enemy of God. And if that's where he stood as he saw his death approaching, there could be no peace. Because the enemies of God, which we all are by nature, deserve punishment from him. Punishment of being locked up in an eternal prison called hell to be tormented forever. But a risen Jesus who had risen from the dead meant that the price required for Peter's sins and for ours was paid in full by Jesus' suffering and his death and his resurrection there in Jerusalem. A risen Jesus meant that sinners worthy of death for being enemies of God were now declared not guilty in God's righteous courtroom. A risen Jesus meant that when Jesus appeared to his disciples that night and said, "Peace be with you," that peace was theirs in the deepest and most meaningful way imaginable. There was perfect peace between Peter and God. Perfect peace between you and God. Perfect peace between me and God. Perfect eternal peace, because through Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, fallen sinners are reconciled with a holy God once and for all. Because Jesus was risen from the dead, Peter knew that even though everything in the world might be at risk, he had eternal security that no one could take away from him. Because he had that maximum security with God through Jesus, Peter's life could have ended that next day and it would have been okay. In fact, one day Peter would give his life for telling other people about Jesus. But that night, an angel came and woke Peter up from his sleep. The chains fell off of his wrists. He got dressed and he followed the angel. The angel led him right past the guards and out into the streets of Jerusalem. The gates of the prison opened all by themselves, and then when they were safely out of the prison, the angel left him, and Peter realized that it wasn't a dream. He was free. And the first thing he did when he was free was go where he found other believers. He knew that those other believers would be gathered together. The Bible says that the whole time that Peter was in prison, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And that's exactly what they were doing when Peter found them. And yet, when they heard that he was at the door, when they heard that he was alive, they couldn't believe their ears. They didn't trust it. Are we ever that way? When we pray, we maybe try not to get our hopes up too high. We know that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are greater than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And so do we sometimes pray, not really expecting God to give us what we ask for? But Peter's story teaches us that we can have maximum security when we pray. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to rely on him. God wants us to have the peace of knowing that he has the power to do the impossible in answer to our prayers. And that he will do the impossible for us if he knows that that is just what's best for us. See, prayer is not just a ritual that we Christians go through to make ourselves feel better. Prayer is a wonderful privilege that God gives to us. The privilege of coming to a God who wants to hear us. A God who loves to hear us. A God who promises to answer every prayer spoken in faith to Him. So the cross and the empty tomb give us maximum security in the face of death, but God's invitation to pray gives us maximum security even while we wait to go home to heaven. As we place our trust in God, as we rely on Him to hear and answer us, to help us through thick and through thin, as we watch Him answer our prayers in incredible and amazing ways. Armed with that awesome gift of prayer and motivated by the maximum security that he had in his forgiveness through the risen Christ, Peter found confidence to keep doing what he had been doing, to keep carrying on that mission, that calling that Jesus had given to him, to go out and tell others about his Savior, to go out and announce the forgiveness of sins through the risen Jesus. He fearlessly went out as his witness. Oh, he may have left Jerusalem to be safe from Herod, but he knew very well there would be more opposition, there would be more threats. Jesus himself had said, "The world hates me. It's going to hate you too. The world has persecuted me. It's going to persecute you too." But the one who set Peter free from the prison in Jerusalem that night was also the one who set Peter free from the prison of sin and death. And this changed Peter drastically. It changed him from being that coward who denied Jesus to being a bold witness who knew he had nothing to lose as he told everyone about his Savior. Who changed him to being a bold witness who could not help but speaking about the things that he had heard and seen, about the Savior who knew him, the Savior who loved him, the Savior who forgave him, the Savior who saved him. About the Son of God who gave his life for him and for all people. The world couldn't hurt Peter. He had maximum security through his faith in Jesus. My friends, the devil wants to hold you captive too. He wants to keep you locked up in the prison of sin and death forever. It's a maximum security prison from which there is absolutely no way that you can get your way out of on your own. But when Jesus escaped the grave alive, he threw open the door of death's prison for you too. In your baptism, he shattered the shackles of your sin once and for all. He set you free from guilt. He set you free from death. He set you free to live as his bold witness, fearlessly telling others about your risen Savior, fearlessly living in joyful anticipation of that day when God will send his angel to escort you from this fallen world to his side in heaven. And so rejoice today, brothers and sisters. Rejoice in the maximum security that you have through your risen Savior. Amen.